Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
In a storm, it is very tempting to want to pull under the overpass and wait for the storm to pass because you don't want to get stuck in the middle of the storm. And so even right now in life, it's so easy to just want to pull over in the middle of the storm that we're in and want to pull over and stop dreaming and stop believing and stop thinking that things can be better. But I want you to know that God did not build you to pull over, that you are storm-proof because he's in the storm with you. So keep driving to that destination. And I'll see you there.
Keep driving to that destination. I know sometimes we want to pull over and we want to just, but listen, brothers and sisters, you have to keep smiling. No matter what's going on in your life, know that God has your back. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, so happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll just get right into the lesson. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you that we have the mind of Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can speak the word of God like Christ. Excuse me. We thank you, Father God, that we believe like the word say we can believe. And with that being said, Father God, we bind up anything that would cause hindrance to this broadcast. And then, Father God, we bind up anything that would cause hindrance to any of the listeners on this broadcast. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for a traveling mercy for those that are traveling today. We know that weather is not all that good in Atlanta, so we know we have people coming in and maybe people going out. So we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're going to give them traveling mercy. Your word decree and declare that grace and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life. And Father God, we continue to pray for the bereaved family. We ask you to continue to strengthen them. Also, Heavenly Father, we pray for this country. And we ask you to continue to give them wisdom. Hallelujah. Give them the spirit of wisdom. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are all we need. Everything we need is in you. Ask you, Heavenly Father, to bless this broadcast. And we're going to get into the lesson now. Heavenly Father, thank you. Okay, brothers and sisters, look here. This week, we're still talking about a new and living way. And we're going to add a few scriptures to our foundational scripture. God don't want us to live no other way but this new and living way, which happens to be by his Spirit. So this week, we're going to be talking about living by his spirit. It's very important, brothers and sisters, that we understand that this new and living way is nothing like the old way. Everything is new. Oh, man, I can't overemphasize that. Everything is new. You can't live with what you feel. You can't live with what you think. You got to live with what the Word of God says. That's it. Period. That's what the young folks say. Period. That's what you got to live by, what the Word of God say. Period. Don't care what anybody, your body, your mind doesn't tell you. That's what you're living by, what the Word of God say. Why? Because we've been created in this spirit. Okay? So let me give you all a few, a little outline here this week. We're going to be talking a little bit about the book of Hebrews. Okay? We're going to talk a little bit about this new creation that we're in. We're going to talk about the fact that not only are we ambassadors for Christ, but remember, we've been made out of his image, which is spirit. And that's the part that we're going to share some light on this week. Hopefully, we'll get a little into that we're a member of his body, and how you going to be a member of his body if you're not spiritual. See? So it's important that we get these things. We want to talk a little bit about the fact that we are living stones. That's what we are. We are living stones. The spirit, not the flesh, but the spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, and I don't mind telling y'all, the devil is my enemy. I'll tell you that right off the bat. He is my enemy. And I love the brothers and sisters, but the devil is my enemy, okay? We have this Holy Spirit that has sealed us with God's promises. So you are protected no matter what you go through. And then, too, also, we're going to talk a little bit about the purpose of the Spirit of God that's in you. There's a purpose other than people just saying this. You got to know, sort of like we talked about yesterday, you got to let the Spirit take over, okay? So we're going to lay some ground work here for what we're going to talk about this week. And we're going to start with the book of Hebrews because we have to enter into this rest. Now, for years, people have gotten this wrong, and God is straightening his body out now, letting them know when he says enter into that rest, he's talking about in him. The same rest that he's, place he's at, is where we're to be. Remember, after he did everything, he created man, then he rests on the seventh day. He's not talking about the day as much as he's talking about the rest needs to be in him. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this week. But meanwhile, we want to get a few scriptures together and discuss them. And then tomorrow we'll talk about, because there's condition that we're to continue in Christ. And man, if I could just really get that to people, spirit, that we have to continue in Christ. A lot of folks start, but they stop. You have to continue into this new life, into this new life that we are now living in. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see who we got. Okay, this is, I know Pastor, she's on the road. Let's see. Okay, Evangelist Sharon, praise God. You're available to read out of the Messenger Bible?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, awesome. Well, our first scripture shall be Hebrews 4 and 1 through 3. And in the King James, it reads, now we may not discuss all these scriptures today, but these will be our foundational scripture. Hebrews 4, 1 through 3 thus. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. He has said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah.
When the promises are mixed with faith, for as long then as that promise of resting in him pulls us on to God's goal for us, we need to be careful that we're not disqualified. We receive the same promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith. If we believe, though, we'll experience that state of resting, but not if we don't have faith. Remember that God said, exasperated, I vow they'll never get where they're going, never be able to sit down and rest. Amen.
Amen. So the writer here, like I said, maybe tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more about the book of Hebrews, but the writer here says that, well, actually he exalts the people to not to be fearful, but he exalts them to not to fail using faith like Israel did. You know, Israel failed to use faith. How do we know that? And I'll just discuss some of these scriptures today. In Romans 11, let's do Romans 11 and 17 through 24. We're going to do Romans. Let's see, here we got. Okay. Y'all stay with me today. I'm doing a bunch of stuff here this morning. Romans 11. And 17 through 24. Computer ran so I don't know why. It reads thus, and if some of the branches be broken off, and being a wild olive tree, rather gather in among them, and with them partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branch, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou will say then, the branch were broken off, that I may be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branch, they can do that. Behold, therefore, the goodness of God and them which fail, that thou be goodness, if thou can continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to grab them in a game. For if thou were cut off the olive tree, which is wild but natural, when grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall be the nature branch be grafted into their own olive tree?
And in the Messenger, it reads, behind and underneath all this, there is a holy God-planted, God-tended root. If the primary root of the tree is holy, there is bound to be some holy fruit. Some of the tree's branches were pruned, and you, while olive shoots were grafted in. Yet, the fact that you are now fed by that rich and holy root gives you no cause to gloat over the pruned branches. Remember, you aren't feeding the root. The root is feeding you. It's certainly possible to say other branches were pruned so that could be grafted in well and good, but they were pruned because they were dead wood, no longer connected by belief and commitment to the root. The only reason you're on the tree is because your graft took when you believed, and because you're connected to that belief, nurturing root. So don't get cocky and strut your branch. Be humbly mindful of the root that keeps you life and green. If God didn't think twice about taking pruning shears to the natural branches, why would he hesitate over you? He wouldn't give it a second thought. Make sure you stay alert to these qualities of gentle kindness and ruthless severity that exit side by side in God. Ruthless with the deadwood, gentle with the grafted shoot, but don't presume on his gentleness. The moment you become deadwood, it's game over. Amen.
Amen. See, so being an unbeliever, brothers and sisters, you will die unless you start believing. Now, to start believing in the new promise, and that's the thing, brothers and sisters, the promise was for believers. I got to say that again. The promise was for believers. How I know that? Remember in Galatians 3, what was that, 3 and 7. But actually, if you read 7 through 14, we'll read that. 7 through 14, it says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathens through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they that be of faith, blessed with faithful Abraham. Many of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law. And wait a minute. That was the 11th verse. But that's it.
7 through 14.
Okay, just wait 1 second here. I'm having I had a little trouble with the computer. Let's see. I'm gonna go back and to the 10th verse. It says, well, actually, the 10th verse says, for as many as the one that works the law are under the curse of it is written. Curse is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident for the just to live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham may come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah.
Amen. And Pastor, you read 7 through what verse?
14.
Praise God. And in Messenger it reads, is it not obvious to you that persons who put their trust in Christ, not persons who put their trust in the law, are like Abraham, children of faith? It was laid out beforehand in Scripture that God would set things right with non-Jews by faith. Scripture anticipated this in the promise to Abraham, all nations will be blessed in you. So those now who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham who lived by faith. This is no new doctrine, and that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. The obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God that way. The person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. Had it right. The person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. Rule keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule keeping. The facts observed in Scripture. The one who does these things, rule keeping, continues to live by them. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now, because of that, the air is cleared and we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too. We are all able to receive God's life, his spirit, in and with us by believing just the way Abraham received it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now, you see, this is the kind of relationship that we have with Christ and the Father. That's in the spirit. The law was a curse. And so if you continue to practice the law, you're going to continue to be cursed. Now, I know this is going to be deep for some people, but I got to tell you, because when I was studying this morning, the Lord showed me you got to do a contrast. Jesus represents flesh. Christ represents spirit. So at some point in time, you got to write that out. Jesus represents flesh. That's the law. Everything dealt with it. He became a curse. All that. Christ represents the spirit. That's what we live by now. It's the spirit of Christ. Why? Because we're in Christ. And I want y'all to know there's a big contrast, man, between the two. So when you think about organized church, that's flesh.
Yes.
See, so when you think about the spirit, that's Christ. The contrast is very Jesus represents the old. Remember what he came to do? Fulfill the old. That was Jesus. Christ represents the new. What is that? want to read that from Evangelist Sharon. 2 Corinthians 3:6. We won't give you all these scriptures today, but hopefully this week you're going to see the contrast between the old and the new. And you don't want to turn away from this new, because he's hearing the gospel preached to you. And if you don't enter into this rest, what God think about you, you know, dying, hey, he'll let you go, baby. I hate to put it to you that way, but that's what that scripture was saying a while ago.
Amen.
Now, if you fall away, he'll attach you back if you repent, which means you change and say, okay, you know what, Lord, I'm going to get into you, Christ, because I know it's better to be in Christ. But read that
for you. You said 6. Only God can write. Okay. We couldn't be more sure of ourselves in this, that you written by Christ himself for God are our letter of recommendation. We wouldn't think of writing this kind of letter about ourselves. Only God can write such a letter. His letter authorizes us to help carry out this new plan of action. The plan was written out with ink on paper, with pages and pages of legal footnotes, killing your spirit. It's written with spirit on spirit, his life on our lives. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what the new is about. Got to get away from the old and become part of the new.
When you think of Jesus,
and I don't want nobody to think I'm belittling or underestimating, but Jesus represented the flesh. That became the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that we needed so we can get on with the new. But we can't get on with the new until we close the book with the old. You got to close that book. So that's what Jesus did. He shut it down and said, okay, it's finished, Father. When he was on the cross, he said, it's finished. What was finished? What was required of the old? So Jesus' body represents the old. That represents the law that came by Moses. But remember, the new is it's the spirit of Christ that came by grace and truth through Christ. See? Remember, the old or Jesus' body represented the law of sin. Christ represents righteousness in him. He paid it. It don't get any plainer. God made him to be that sin. So when you think about Jesus, Jesus was made to be sin, not Christ. Christ is the spirit that got up, that want to control us, that we
allow
over us. Remember, in Jesus, there was no faith. He never told anybody to believe in him as the Messiah, but believe in him for the very works that he was doing. What works was that? See, he was doing what the Father had put on him to do. That was
the Father. Amen.
So when you think about, now let me tell you this. In Romans 10:4, you'll see that Christ ended that work. I better go there and get it. Romans 10:4. I want to go. That's where I want to be at right now, because I want to show you this. When I tell you that Jesus represents the flesh, Christ represents the spirit. In Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law. Can I say that just one more time? Christ is the end of the law. Well, if that's the end of it, get rid of it. Get shut of it. That's what they say in Georgia. Get shut of it. They probably don't do that up in Ohio and New York. I know them. But in Georgia, that means to get rid of it. It's the end of something. It's the end. Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, everyone that believeth. I'll see if you want to read a little of that. Just that four verses.
Okay. Oh, I'm trying to find to see exactly where the four verses are. Okay, in the Messenger, it reads as follows. The early revelation was intended simply to get us ready for the Messiah, who then put everything right for those who trust him to do it. Moses wrote to anyone who insists on using the law code to live right before God soon discovers it's not so easy every detail of life regulated by fine print. But trusting God to shape the right living in us is a different story. No precarious climb. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Listen, brothers and sisters. Christ is the end of the law. It's just that simple, period. He's the end of the law, period. So why are you trying to keep something that Christ already got rid of? You got to get this revelation. Christ put everything on his shoulder, and he ended the law. And you say, how do you know that? Jesus' body, that's what it was. It was Jesus for the old and Christ for the new. Okay.
Yes,
gonna leave
yes, yes. Amen.
That's what we're going to be talking about. So when you see Jesus, that represents the old. Christ represents the new. So I have a bunch of scriptures that I'm going to give you guys. But I want you to understand the concept. Old and new. Old and new. Yeah, I didn't come to fulfill that. Christ come to bring the new. So you put them together. Remember what the scripture says? The law was a curse. Jesus hung, so he took care of the curse. He became that curse so we can live in him. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, we'll get into it this week. But tomorrow, if you really want to know something about the book of Hebrews, I'm going to share a few things from my notes. Because it's going to help you to see this new and living way. Make sure you tune in for this new and living way. And it's by faith. It's by faith. That's what it is. By faith. But you can't enter into this rest unless you have faith. What happened to Israel? They didn't want to have faith in it. Yeah, they didn't want to have faith. They didn't want to trust. And God said he preached them, but they still didn't want to hear it. Okay. Thank you all so much for joining. We'll just get into it tomorrow.